We are gathered here today as a part of the EY India Insights podcast. My name is Ritika Lugane Gupta, and I'm a partner in the Tax and Policy Advisory Specialty Services. We are going to talk today about a very important regulatory development that has hit India digital space, the Digital Personal Data Protection Act. This act has been doing the rounds over the last 2 years, and finally it saw the light of the day on 13th November 2025. When the rules were notified by the central government. I'm joined by my colleague Lalit Kalra, who's a partner in EY India. Hi, Lalit.
Hi, Ritika. It's a pleasure to be here. Hi, everyone. My name is Lalit Kalra. I'm a partner in the EY cybersecurity practice, and I lead data privacy for India, which is the hot thing that we're going to talk about today.
Great. So, Lalit, let's do a deep dive. What is it all about in the Digital Personal Data Protection Act? And as we go along, we'll refer it to as DPDP. So tell us, what does it hold for companies and for individuals like you and me?
So it's one of my favorite topics. And this is one of the acts, I would say, that we've been waiting for quite some time now. Like you said, DPDPA, it stands for Digital Personal Data Protection Act. It was released in 2023 and it took only 9 days from the time it was drafted to get it signed by the president. And that was the fastest that I saw in my career. But it took some time for the government to draft the rules. And that's when in November this month, they released the rules. Now, what the act talks about is, the act, as the word says, digital. The act focuses on helping the data principal or the individual gain more control over their personal data, which is either collected in digital form by an organization or collected in hard copy like you would sign anywhere in a visitor register or in a form, but later digitized. So that is what the law actually aims to protect and give some rights to the individual.
And I think these individuals are called data principals?
Absolutely. And so there are very new fancy terms that they've introduced, and we'll talk about that. So like I said, it talks about data of the individual, but the law is applicable to the individual. But more than that, it is a game changer for the organization. So like you said, data principle for an individual, an organization here is called data fiduciary, which essentially means the organization which is defining the purpose and means of collecting and processing personal data. Now, I want to go into a little more into personal data, but I'll refrain from doing that. But it is, from an India perspective, from the Act perspective, it is applicable to any organization which is providing goods or services to people in the territory of India. Incidentally, it is also applicable to companies which are outside of India, but are processing personal data of people in India. Now, this is what the Act essentially talks about, the applicability. It talks about giving more control over personal data. But let me ask you one thing. Now, the definitions and everything is okay, but you've been doing this in the regulatory space for almost 20 years now.
Right.
How do you think, what are you seeing in the market for this?
Okay. Interesting question. So, you mentioned that the Act took more than 2 years to come into being. The government does realize, right, that companies are going to take time to implement the Act, but the companies are going to take some time. So, interestingly, there is a three, time gap or periods that have been given for companies to adapt themselves to DPDP. The first one is starting immediately, which means that the Act is applicable and the government is going to form a data protection board, right, which is going to oversee the implementation of the Act for companies. The second timeline is after 1 year, right, which is November of 2026, where companies who have been identified or take the approval as consent managers, the role of the consent manager is actually going to be managing the consent that the companies are going to be taking from the data principals. The third timeline is after a period of 18 months. That is when this Act will fully come to force and companies will need to start establishing and also ensuring that they are fully compliant with the Act.
Okay.
Right? So, interestingly, Lalit, you are in the technology space. Now, what is it that the consent manager system is all about? And what are some of the technological changes that companies are going to do to meet this requirement?
So this is a new, it would not be wrong to say that consent manager is a new wonder kid on the block. Because none of the laws globally have this concept of consent manager. What the role of a consent manager is, a consent manager is a bridge between an individual and the company.
Right.
So, as per the Act, a consent manager will be acting as a data fiduciary. He will have to comply with all the obligations that a normal organization will have to comply with. At the same time, he would only be responsible for consent.
Okay.
So, as an individual, the model that we are envisaging would work is, there's a small time organization which collects personal data but does not have the skill and the manpower to manage and comply with the consent for the act. That's where consent manager comes into picture. It is a third party. The company onboards the consent manager who starts to manage the consent. They will have their own platform which is interoperable across different companies. The individual essentially, rather than hooking to the website of, let's say, company A, it first lands at consent manager. From there, it goes, the data is shared with company A and then vice versa. For withdrawal of consent also, they go through the consent manager. As a user, I was pretty happy because I have to find one consent manager who is the omnipresent, catch hold of him and get my consent removed.
Correct.
Yes.
And the consent manager will ensure that the consent is moved across all companies that need your consent, right?
Yes, wherever I request for removal. But it is, instead of me running around, the consent manager will do that.
Great.
Job for me. So this is just one aspect of the Act, Ritika. Now, similarly, there are other parties that they've talked about. And in terms of, there is tons of data which would be identified and retained. A consent manager will have to retain data. Organization will be retaining data. And there will be multiple other laws that they have to comply with.
Correct.
So would a consent manager or a company, how will that retention work? Do you have any idea?
Okay. So the retention is that they have talked about the retention in two parts, or there are two mentions on the retention. One, that the retention logs have to be maintained for a period of 1 year, right?
Okay.
So that's an important part. And I think somewhere they have taken clue from the Department of Telecom regulations that also require companies to maintain such logs, which are being used for internet and for connectivity. So there's a 1 year log period that needs to be maintained. So upon retention, Lalit, what are some of the technological changes that you're talking about? Because retention is a mandatory requirement under the Act, right? So I'm sure companies will also need to work around keeping the logs. And I think they should be tamper-free logs, right?
Absolutely. So more than the logs, Ritika, the retention is one of the key requirements across data privacy laws in the world. What retention across the world that they are maintaining is, an organization should only retain the data till the time its purpose is not met. Once the purpose is fulfilled, ideally the organization should do away with data. But what happens globally is companies are hungry for data and they want to retain as much data as possible. And that's where any of my clients, I'm sure any of yours also, everybody is retaining data perpetually.
Right.
And that would be a challenge for the organization, because now with acts like DPDPA coming in, they will have to identify what data needs to be retained for how long.
Correct.
That is the first part. And once they've identified for how long I can retain data, next is deletion of that data. Some will be in archives, some will be in backup tapes, and so on and so forth. There are systems and organizations which don't talk to each other.
Correct.
So it'll be a huge challenge. And I think I was wrong in saying that 18 months is
enough.
But considering the technology changes that a retention itself would require, I think they'll take 18 months. Specifically talking about logs, essentially, this is an interesting requirement because certain talks about 180 days.
Right.
Certain, which is the Computer Emergency Response Team of India, they talk about retaining logs for 180 days. Similarly, RBI also gives the different timeline and the other
that's an important point that you pick up, that we have different laws in the country.
Correct.
That prescribe different time frames for maintaining the logs. So for example, in Companies Act, you're supposed to maintain the data for 8 years.
Okay.
Right. SEBI has its own requirements. The insurance regulatory authorities has its own requirements. I think that will be the other important part of how laws, the DPDP overlaps with these other laws. And again, important for a company to devise a policy that while you're being compliant with DPDPA, you should also be compliant with the other Absolutely. Applicable laws.
Absolutely. That's what my question was coming to. How does an organization do that? I mean, a legal or a CISO or a DPO, whosoever is doing that, would essentially have a nightmare doing this.
Absolutely. And I think that is why this law is very important, that it cannot be just done in isolation, right?
Okay.
You don't just need to have the general counsel or the, you know, IT head looking at it. You need to have people coming in from compliance, from income tax, from governance, because there are different laws in the country that an entity operating here will need to comply with. So for them to, you know, just ensure that DPDPA is compliant, but the other laws are also compliant, I think that's going to be a very important, I would say, cornerstone on which the privacy policy is going to be based upon.
Absolutely. Now, you know, I had a very interesting conversation with a client of mine. He says, what if I don't do it?
Right, right.
What do I tell him?
Right. I think that's, again, a very important point, that what if you don't follow the law,
yeah.
right? I think in India, any law which is there has some penalties ascribed to it. You know, we've been through...
You need to have the stick.
You need to have the stick. So while there are carrots, there's equal stick as well. Now, the penalties somewhere under this law are huge, right?
Yeah.
They can range from a 250 crore to a nearly 800 crore.
Wow.
Which is a huge number for a company to be non-compliant on this act. You know, they talk about maintaining the data. There's a penalty ascribed to it. If you don't report any data breach, there's a penalty ascribed to it. One of the important words that they've used in the law is that you need to have a reasonable security safeguard.
Oh, that's my forte.
That's your forte, right? Where again, there's a 250 crore penalty that has been put if a company does not maintain reasonable security safeguards.
Yes, I read about that.
Right.
Yeah, I read about that, and that was a scary one.
That's a scary one,
that's
absolutely.
That's a scary, scary one, and I think this is the one which carries the maximum of penalty among the penalties. But they made it easier, you know? When you look at a GDPR or when you look at a CCPA, they leave it a little open-ended to say, okay, an organization decides what controls should I implement.
Correct.
But that way, BT has done a great job. They've actually given some minimum controls.
Correct.
To say what would actually mean a reasonable security safeguard. So they've talked about encryption.
Right.
Which essentially means that you need to encrypt data wherever possible. They've talked about access, which is to ensure that unauthorized access is controlled. They've talked about backup, they've talked about business continuity, and they've also talked about how do you identify a breach. So Security Operations Center, SIEM, they've talked about all the if key systems or a key baseline control that an organization should be implementing, and they've mentioned those in the Act. So from a perspective of a person or an organization who does not have a lot of insights into where do they start with,
right.
I think this gives a good starting point for them to, okay, this is where I should start with, and this is what my journey should look like.
Correct.
When I'm talking about the reasonable security safeguards.
Right. And I think you bring up this interesting point on MeitY, you know, understanding what all of this is about. Because today in the digital age, right, everybody, like you mentioned, is hungry for data. And the more securities that somebody will enable, I think the more hacks will happen.
Absolutely.
Right? Every day we are reading about hacks happening. But I think with this kind of a provision that MeitY has come about, saying that if you have reasonable security safeguards, you do stand a chance for at least defending if and when there is a data breach.
Correct. Because in today's world, it is not a matter of whether you would be hacked.
Yeah.
So it is a matter of whether you have already been hacked.
Correct.
Or you don't know that you've been hacked.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you would be, there will be companies where the attacks will happen. There will be companies where the attacks do not happen. But it's a volatile environment, and that's what MeitY understands. And I think that's what goes for penalties also. The organization has to show an intake and has to showcase that we've done what we could.
Correct.
And in spite of that, if there are breaches which happen, they can report those in 72 hours, which the act mandates.
Correct.
But I think there should be, there's no, a CISO or a DPO does not need to lose his sleep over that.
Right, absolutely, correct, yeah.
So on the organizations will get breached, there will be breaches which happen, but the organizations have about 72 hours to give the detailed report to the data protection board. And the interesting part here is, they have to report to the data principal also.
Right.
Whenever the incident happens, if a data principal is impacted, they need to be reported at what has happened, what are the organizations doing, what are the measures that they've implemented, and so on and so forth. But this is just one part of it, Ritika. If I am the CEO of an organization, should I be worried, or is there a method to this madness?
Okay. I think in all my conversations that I've had so far, everybody's been thinking, oh, there's an 18-month period, I still have time, let, you know, let somebody take a first step. But I think we don't have time for that. Definitely what we need to do now, till the time the 18-month period is over, is first check and do, which is what we typically refer to as a gap assessment, right? So check what is the data that you have. Who has access to that data? What are the data touch points in your organization, right? So get first an inventory of that. See what all departments are getting impacted, right? First do that. Then map it up with what is the requirement under the Act. That will throw up exactly what is the kind of effort that will be required for you to be compliant in the first part. After that, move to technology.
Yes, I think just to add on to what you said, Ritika, once an organization does a gap assessment, that's where the actual journey starts for them. Because then privacy is for an organization to comply with DPA. In my view, it is not a matter of whether you have the best drafted policies or whether you have the best technology available with you, but it is a people mindset that has to change. How are you embedding culture of privacy within the organization? So that is the first most important aspect that a privacy team should be working towards, embedding a culture of privacy within the organization. At the same time, technology plays a key role.
Absolutely.
Now, how do I identify data? That's where the data discovery tools comes into picture. And then, see, for organizations which are dealing with huge amount of data, it is practically impossible to manage the data principal request, keep a track of what changes are happening in my platform, whether it has impact of privacy or not, and so on. Manually, is not possible. That's where there are a lot of privacy program management tools which comes into picture, which help you take consent, help you manage consent, withdrawal consent, help you address or identify a grievance, and most importantly, keep a track of retention. How do I classify which data do I need to retain for, which data do I need to delete, and so on and so forth. And like I said earlier, the security technologies also play a key role here, because there's a huge penalty on a breach of reasonable security safeguards. So an organization needs to look at it from all angles of, so we used to earlier call it as the PPT. People would understand a PowerPoint presentation.
Correct.
But PPT essentially is people, process, technology. All three needs to be handled to ensure that A, there's a compliance which is maintained with the DPDPA.
Yeah. And I think once that is done, it is equally important that you continue to maintain it.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it is not end all. It's not just at the end of a story. This is going to be there for a long, long time to come. It's going to impact, I think, most importantly, a company's brand. Because if you're able to, give the trust to the data principal, whether it is a vendor, whether it is a customer, whether it is an employee, the people will start trusting your brand. And that is what is generally going to impact the businesses that
Absolutely.
We have in the country today.
Absolutely.
Right?
It is no longer a compliance activity.
Correct.
In fact, this is going to become a business enabler for
Absolutely.
An organization.
Absolutely.
On how they handle data, what level of trust does the individual have.
Yeah. And I think interestingly, a point that also requires here from a boardroom perspective, the auditors are supposed to certify that a company today has complied with all laws.
Yep.
This is part of the CARO report that goes in an audit. And that is when, this is also getting the attention of the boardroom, because,
Absolutely.
The auditors are going to ask you a question, have you complied with DPDPA? And that's when, you know, if there are going to be any breaches, if there are going to be any non-compliances, it's going to find a mention in the financial statements as well.
Wow.
So that is the importance, you know, at the end of it, data principles, data fiduciaries, everything is fine, but it reaches the boardroom, and that's when I think it reaches the highest level of
That's an interesting point, Ritika. So it's no longer a compliance activity, but it is something that a board would be interested in, and it is people, the organizations would get 18, just to summarize for everyone, the organization would get 18 months to comply with the act. And there are different obligations, from managing consent to having a record of inventory of personal data, putting reasonable security safeguards. I think we've had interesting discussions.
Absolutely.
And people, I think, should love it. So thank you for your time, Ritika. And
thank
you, everyone, for tuning in. Keep listening to EY India Insights podcast for more such conversations. Thank you.